It's Wednesday, July 6th. Welcome to Market Foolery. I'm Chris Hill. Joining me in studio today, it's been a long time
since we rock and rolled together.
Exactly. From Motley Fool, Hidden Gems, Seth Jason. Thanks for being here.
I've had to find a different outlet for my profanity.
The
good news is my child is way ahead. She's like 98th percentile in the profanity scale.
Is she?
So, yeah.
You know what? Anytime your kid is 98th percentile of something, you got to embrace it. You got to be proud.
America.
We've got some interesting news today from the world of investable food and beverage, and earnings season kicks off, so I want to get your thoughts on that. But let's start with Chipotle, which is in the news, but not for a good reason. Mark Crumpacker.
Was always my favorite name in corporate America.
It's like straight out of a Dickens novel. Mark Crumpacker, the chief creative and development officer at Chipotle, has surrendered to face a New York Supreme Court judge. He is alleged, we're going to use that word a few times today.
We don't want to get sued.
He is alleged to have been part of a cocaine ring and allegedly ordered $3,000 worth of cocaine delivered to his home on more than a dozen occasions. And if you're wondering, how does someone afford, allegedly, that much cocaine? It's because what we cannot allege, but what we know for a fact to be true, is that over the last 3 years, this guy, who's one of the top executives at Chipotle, has been paid He has received in compensation about $15.5 million over the last 3 years.
You got to spend it on something. You can get the Bloomberg Pursuits thing, his high-end watch, or allegedly you order coke and have it delivered, or maybe pick it up at a Duane Reddy pharmacy. Was it? I saw. I hope that was them. It was a pharmacy anyway. It seems like the dumbest way to get coke. I lived in New York for years, and you always could hear about these. You hear you can like buy pot or coke. Someone will deliver it to your house. Yeah, and then the cops hear about it, and then everyone gets busted.
Right. you and I are old enough that, and I don't know if this was your first reaction when you saw this story, but my first reaction was, is this 30 years ago? Is this 1986? Yeah. It's not 26. This seems like a story straight out of the 1980s.
Well, you get the message on your pager. As to where which drugstore to go to pick it up. But more seriously, this is, they put him on administrative leave, and I suppose you have to do that, and you have to wait and see where the case goes maybe. But on the other hand, this is kind of the guy who's in charge of repairing your brand. And the brand has problems, as listeners may know from years back. I own quite a bit of Chipotle stock, made a lot of money on it, a lot of it through luck. Have been a fan of the company. I also have problems with the company, and I think in the past couple of years they went way too far from the, hey, we make good-tasting food fairly quickly, toward this, so-called ethics or integrity and the anti-GMO stance, which is just anti-scientific nonsense, and also hypocritical because all the soft drinks they load you up with are made with GMO corn syrup. So, I mean, it's a crock anyway. I was just reading their Facebook page. They're always using words like eating clean, which is another nonsense word meant to shame people who aren't part of the, organic religion. And this is a company, let's remind everyone, that not long ago, they're talking about eating clean on their Facebook page. This is a company that couldn't keep human feces-borne diseases out of its restaurants on several occasions. So they need to pack up the smug, and they needed to double down on food safety. Now, when this happened, they said, we're going to have, best-in-class safety, or we always were top, but now we're going to be even better. And I looked into it, and it was clear to me at the time that they were doing the bare minimum. Best-in-class was somebody like McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's doesn't make people sick very often. You don't hear a lot about that because they just simply don't make people sick that often because they really pay attention. And they don't do stuff like, hey, let's buy lettuce or something from a farm, from local farmers, because you can't stay on top of testing and make sure it's safe. I mean, there's a reason that companies that serve a lot of food have large suppliers with, very highly controlled processes, because that's the only way you can feed that many people without poisoning them. And so this is the guy who's kind of in charge of rehabilitating the brand as the chief creative officer. And, if as alleged, he's sort of a a closet coquette, it kind of dents the whole integrity thing.
Well, and that's where, you know, I don't know if irony is the right word, but I mean, it's not irony. It's like it's part of the problem because, as you said, they have a brand problem. This is the chief brand officer, and he's adding to the problem.
Yeah, I mean, do I trust this guy now? I mean, do I feel bad for him? On the one hand, I feel bad for folks who are addicted to drugs because I don't know that it's entirely their fault that this is, you know, what's going on. I know a lot of people suffer with addiction problems, and I can't sit there and shake my finger too much because, you know, maybe that could be me. But on the other hand, you know, as a shareholder, I want people who have better character, you know, running the show, people I can trust. And you know, I guess if you have a problem, maybe you need to come to the CEO if you're this high level and say, listen, I need, before I get caught up in something, I need to deal with this. And you deal with it on your own if you can. I don't know. It's a complex issue, but I think that it's definitely not a plus for Chipotle.
Let's move away from this issue for Chipotle and something that this comes on a day when McDonald's has announced that they are expanding their all-day breakfast menu.
Mm.
That has worked for McDonald's. That has worked out really well for them, and it's worked out well for shareholders. When you look at Chipotle just as a business, regardless of these issues that we've been talking about, do you look at them and say, hey, why don't you give breakfast a shot?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that people are heading to Chipotle, but I guess you could have said that about McDonald's. Chipotle, I've been to Chipotle. I hadn't been back for months. I went back. I've been back maybe once in the past couple of weeks or something, and I have to say once or twice, and I have to say the place was empty. People are, and this is lunchtime, so not good news. People at this fairly popular location are still not back. And, you know, I sat down to eat my burrito, and I don't know if I was imagining it, but you know, the quality just didn't seem so great. You know, kind of sloppy, kind of eh. And I wondered, you know, I don't really feel like I need to come back here and spend $8 on that burrito or whatever the heck it was. And I wonder if a lot of people didn't sort of get startled by the illness and then sort of think about it more and realize that maybe Chipotle wasn't so special as they thought to begin with. Which, again, I don't like to propose that as a shareholder, but you know, I think it's going to take more than a few burrito giveaways and the typical kind of Chipotle viral attempts at viral marketing to turn this around.
Yeah, I think, and we've talked about this before,
And to answer your question more directly, stay away from breakfast until you fix the problems you've got now.
I think you're right about that. I think that... when you set yourself up for when you use phrases like food with integrity and that sort of thing, you are, fairly or unfairly, you are setting yourself up higher than other companies in your same space. And, you know, we've made the joke before, like, look, if someone gets sick at Taco Bell, that's not a headline because we're all aware of what they're selling at Taco Bell.
On the other hand, if you look at Barf Blog or whatever the food, I think it's Barf Blog.
There's a guy. There is not something
there's,
called
there's
Barf
somebody Blog. Who follows a scientist who follows food problems in restaurants, and it might have been Barf Blog was the website. But if you look at the websites that follow this, you don't see Taco Bell up there that much. Now, we all remember the video of the rats in the New York Taco Bell, which didn't surprise me. You see rats everywhere in New York. Of course, they're in Taco Bell, too. But on the other hand, Taco Bell's actually not making people sick last year as often as Chipotle was. But yeah, it still wouldn't be a headline. Your point is well taken, and I've made this point. If you get too snooty, like Chipotle has, then people are just waiting for you to sort of stumble, and then they're going to push you over and kick you.
For the third July in a row, Starbucks is raising prices on its drinks starting July 12th.
This is like a annual celebration?
I guess. 30 cents a pop, which is...
Which beverages, we don't know, right?
At least on the lattes, at least on those type of beverages. I don't think they're raising coffee 30 cents a pop.
But I didn't prepare well enough. I didn't look at milk prices. I looked at coffee prices. Actually, so 30 cents, obviously we can't, until we know the beverages, we don't know what percent increase that is, which makes it all the funnier, right? Because you'd figure... costs have sort of a percentage increase.
So right. We do know that just on an absolute basis, yeah. it is higher than last year's price increase was anywhere from 5 to 20 cents, okay. depending on the drink.
Well, I do know. So looking at coffee prices now, of course, you know, Starbucks probably correctly maybe argue that you can't just look at, you know, commodity coffee prices and check what they're paying. But assuming that they're anywhere close to each other, coffee prices are up a little bit over the past few months, about 16%. But 18 months ago, they were like 30% more. So they're actually down quite a bit from then. But I think, you know, all companies do this. This is how you kind of keep up with your pay increases, right? So benefits and pay are presumably going up for their staff. And so you try to take what you can get when you can get it. And of course, I think they're pretty smart. They know that most people are just going to shrug and keep paying.
Do you think that they have maybe not outsized, but do you think they have a greater ability to raise prices than other competitors in their space?
Probably depends on the play. I would say that, you know, if you're on the same street as a Dunkin' Donuts in Massachusetts, maybe not,
no.
right?
The answer is no.
You're going to get the finger, and then people are going to walk by and get their dunks, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to pound on your window and give you the finger again, and then go drink.
Are you
dunks,
disparaging
right?
the people of Massachusetts?
No.
Just for their love of Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
No, that's what I love about Massachusetts. It's like no more civilized than the wilds of Minnesota that I came from, but it seems that way. They've got a city. Yeah, it's a city instead of a crummy town.
It's certainly more populated than northern Minnesota where you grew up.
But, you know, at a place like, I suppose, suburban northern Virginia, you could probably get away with it and nobody will even bat an eyelash.
How much longer do you think they can keep this up? I mean, I'm a shareholder.
Decades. It's how they all do it, right? I mean, what was a burger at McDonald's? Like a nickel back in the day?
Was that it?
Back when you wore an onion on your belt?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was the style at the time. Seriously, though, I mean, this is, as a shareholder of Starbucks, on the one hand, I'm like, great, they're raising prices. They do have some degree of pricing power. Yeah. It did give me pause that this was the third year in a row they're doing this.
Yeah, I'm sure they follow every single one of these metrics, and they all know exactly
how far they can push
it. Exactly what the traffic, you know, difference. I mean, they'll know their traffic. They'll know if people trade down. They'll know if people stop coming in, and they'll adjust accordingly.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but ever since this Dunkin' Donuts went in across the street from our office,
you don't go to Starbucks.
My going into Starbucks has dropped about 95%.
Yeah, and ever since we got the pretty good coffee machine in the kitchen, I don't go to any of them. I just go there.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's mostly a caffeine delivery device, you know.
Well, sure. As I mentioned, earnings season kicks off next week. God bless Alcoa. They still get to go first. They still get the official.
And as, right?
What's that?
As.
What's that?
Because they broke our hidden gems. You know, they
split up.
Yeah. Well.
Was that the offshoot of Alcoa?
Geez, it's on Andy's side of the scorecard, so I don't know. I just know they're metal coatings, so you know, conceivably could be, but I don't know that they are. But they coat metals, but they're always the beginning of the earnings season for us. Whenever I see that, I feel like winter is coming.
So what is your mindset as we get ready to kick off another earnings season? Is there anything in particular you're watching for? It can be in an industry. It can be a specific company. I'm just curious if there's anything that you're watching.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'll be watching to see which consumer-facing companies are continuing to do well. I mean, I'm sure Under Armour will crush it again because people just can't seem to get enough of that. I've been ordering more Under Armour for crying out loud. It's hot out, and I'm not big on name brand sports goods, but their heat gear, long sleeve shirts, are amazing. It's like wearing a refrigerator. Yesterday was 98 degree heat index. I went out for my run in the afternoon. I didn't even finish my bottle of water in an 8 mile run. I mean, I got done and I ran the fastest 2 miles were at the end. And yeah, I was warm, but it wasn't, you know, it's actually really good stuff. It works. But other companies that are, you know, somebody like Fossil or some of the companies that have been having trouble in the consumer and fashion space, I'll be interested to see if they turn it around at all. Be interested to see what's happening with European consumers in some of these cases through companies like Guess and others and Movado and some of these. On the more industrial side or the energy side, I will be interested to see how like fracking sand volumes are holding up for a company like U.S. Silica on the scorecard for us. because of course we're still not pumping as much oil and gas as we were, but they're using the heck out of existing wells, and that means they've got to still buy fairly decent quantities of sand to jam down in those things and break and hold open the cracks in the rock. I will be interested in seeing how flights are holding up with some of our airlines like Spirit and with the airports in Mexico, and see how TripAdvisor is doing, C-Trip. So we're in kind of a weird space where I feel like the election season, especially when the Republicans were still fighting it out, I felt like there was a lot more negativity about the economy in the news. And I feel like that has an effect on consumer spending. And maybe I need to see if that's actually borne out. But I feel like maybe that will have waned a little bit because we've had some decent economic news. And since things are a little bit more established, the headlines aren't every day screaming about, so-and-so says the economy is horrible. Maybe people will have come back and started spending again.
I'm curious about, you mentioned exposure to oil and then also the airlines. I'm curious if there was an intent to hedge one against the other, thinking that, well,
on my side, no. We were with Spirit because it was, an ultra low cost carrier that, fuel didn't matter to it much because they were undercutting everybody on everything else. And then what happened actually when fuel prices went through the floor, American and the full service airlines started to compete with the ultra low cost carriers on price. And then they all swore that they could do this for the long run, and it had nothing to do with just having low oil prices for a while. And recently, we're finding out that's probably not true. I mean, when you're giving people, pretzels and pop and everything for free, you can't see the finger quotes. It's actually a cost. So I'll be interested to see actually how that is still playing out. We saw cracks in that in American last quarter, and you saw the legacy full service carriers not actually able to compete, I don't think, on the low end. So that'll be interesting to see if that space opens up and the low-cost carriers have a little less competition.
Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
As always, people on the program may have interest in the stocks they talk about, and the Motley Fool may have formal recommendations for or against, so don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. That's going to do it for this edition of Market Foolery. The show is mixed by Dan Boyd. I'm Chris Hill. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.